So last night, just after New York closed and just before Asia opened, we got a leverage flush and the price of Bitcoin went from about 62,000 all the way down to about 58,000. In a very short period of time, this liquidation cascade caused about $1.5 billion of leverage to be completely wiped out. Now, the big question is, what actually caused this leverage liquidation? Was there a justified reason, or is there just market manipulation going on? That's what I'm going to show you today. This leverage liquidation wasn't coincidental. That's all I'm going to say to you for now, and the rest I'm going to leave for when I give you alpha in the show. Let's go, guys. How many of you were watching this liquidation flush yesterday? It was kind of crazy because all of a sudden we got this like aggressive flush out of open interest, of leverage, which happened pretty much out of the blue, like at a crazy time. And I really want to speak about what actually happened, because I think when you see what I see, you may just get the same conclusions that I got into. So listen, first of all, if you're here, subscribe to the channel. But remember, from tomorrow, I'm not going to be on this channel. I'm going to be on Banter Plus, okay? You need to be subscribed to Crypto Banter Plus. The show will be at exactly the same time, but it will be on Banter Plus. If you're not already subscribed to Banter Plus, you see, we've been watching UFC here in the office because it's been so boring on the markets. So go to the show today. Go to our show today. And just there should be a link that allows you to subscribe to Banter Plus. Go and subscribe now to Banter Plus and switch on your notifications. And tomorrow you'll get the notification for the actual show. And tomorrow you'll get... So you go... Yeah, somewhere here there should be a link. Right, Josh?
There is one. There should be one.
Where is that link, sir? Okay, put in the top. Put in the very, very, very top. So you guys need to subscribe to Banter Plus if you want to watch tomorrow. I'm going to be on Banter Plus going forward. Show's going to be at exactly the same time. All right, let's get into the alpha of the day, and I'm expecting you guys to absolutely obliterate the like button. Let's go. Let's obliterate the like button. I'm going to show you exactly what happened yesterday. Remember, we were at about 62,000 or around 62,000, there or thereabout. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, well, not really the middle of the night, late last night, just after New York closed, just before Japan opened, bang, we get a leverage flush out. And what you can see is a leverage flush out was pretty aggressive. In fact, in the span of like a couple of hours, we had $1.5 billion of leverage flushed out. And you can see that lots of traders were actually commenting on how aggressive this leverage flush out actually was. Because, I mean, surprisingly enough, if you think about it, I mean, it's quite strange that we actually even had a leverage flush out. Why? Because the market hasn't had much leverage. The market hasn't had much much froth in it lately, right? And all of a sudden, if you look at the aggregated open interest, the open interest didn't even get to a very high level and then just collapsed and did this quite aggressively. And so I think the big question is what actually caused this leverage flush out. And I'll show you a couple of ideas or scenarios in a couple of seconds. As someone said, the 10% of the total open interest or leverage of the entire market was actually flushed out in just a couple of hours. From a magnitude point of view, it actually wasn't that bad. So from a magnitude point of view, I think it was only like 200 or 300. Let's just see CoinGlass liquidations. I think it was about CoinGlass liquidation there. I think it was like $300 or $400 million were actually liquidated. $315 million had been liquidated in the last 24 hours. So we did have this leverage flush out. And as someone correctly says, he says, this leverage flush out, the last three times Bybit wiped 10,000 Bitcoin in open interest, we've marked the bottom in price shortly thereafter. So it could be that we marked the bottom. And in fact, when I got onto the Front Runners morning call this morning, we have a morning call with the Front Runners Discord group every single morning. And when I got onto that morning call this morning, I looked at the Bitcoin price. Bitcoin price was at 58,800. Tudor, what did I say as soon as I jumped on the call? I wasn't even on the call. What did I say? I said, I looked at the price. I said, it is the bottom. 58,500. We're at the bottom. Things are going to start turning. And we actually did start turning exactly after that, because basically this was nothing but a leverage flush. And I'm going to show you in a second exactly what happened. One thing you got to remember is that this leverage flush is happening in a time where there's very few people actually trading the market, which means that volume is very, very, very thin. When volume is very thin, when there are very few traders in the market, you know what happens. It takes one little move to get people liquidated because there's no There's no liquidity in the market because there's no traders in the market. One little move in leverage, one little move in the market can trigger a bunch of leverage liquidations. And that's exactly what happened. Because the low volume in the market, because of the low anticipation in the market, the low participation in the market, we had another big aggressive leverage flush out. The reality is I'm not worried. And I told you that I think that this is the pump that takes us through the all-time high. And I maintain my position that this is the pump that takes you through all-time high. I kind of think that it's playing out exactly on this fractal. And I kind of think that we're exactly here. It's not going to be a straight line up, but this is the one. This is the one that's taking us above the all-time high. I don't see us going below the lower low here. I don't see that actually happening. Someone says, also, if you think about it, it's pretty fucking crazy that Bitcoin is trading like 15% away from its all-time high, and we basically, it has been feeling like it's a bear market. It feels like it's a bear market because nothing's happening, and that's what's actually flushing out the traders here. And I kind of agree here. This is all short-term nonsense. We do know that in like the next FOMC meeting, they start cutting interest rates. When they start cutting interest rates, liquidity keeps coming into the market, and we're going to carry on flying. So this is all short-term noise. When I woke up this morning, I looked at the charts, I was like, oh God, here we go again. But I mean, I was kind of like, I said, like, I'm still very bullish, very confident that this is the one that is taking us up. So then the question becomes, all right, if this is the pump that's taking us up, why did we crash? What actually happened? What caused this leverage flush? So, Ranjit Vivek Ramaswamy. It's Ranaswamy. Vivek Ranaswamy. Brace for impact. Markets are 90% psychological. Look at Ninja Fun. How was your birthday, Cryptomano? We're celebrating tonight. We're going to have gummies and fun tonight. If you're in Cape Town, maybe join us, right? Yeah. All right. So what actually happened? What actually caused the leverage flush out here? Well, I think we've got to look at exactly when this thing happened. You'll remember in the beginning of the show, I said to you, if you look at the time that this leverage happened, this leverage flush out happened, after New York closed and before Japan and Asia actually opened. Now, there's a very important reason why I gave you those time slots. That is what you call the dead zone in markets. And the reason why I call it a dead zone is because most markets don't trade. The traders from New York, the big funds from New York, the ETF buyers, their markets closed and they've gone home. The traders from the Asia haven't yet gotten into the market to start trading. So if you look at the volume of the market, someone says, check your mic. There we go. It's back. If we go, check mic. So when did this actually happen? It happened when Asia wasn't open. New York was closed. Traders from New York went home. Traders from Asia got to the office. That is in the markets. That is the path of least or the time of least volume. That is the thing. It's the time of least volume. Now you got to ask yourself a question: who or what would trigger a liquidation or a bunch of liquidations during a time when no one's there? Who would begin selling Bitcoin in a time where no one is actually at the office? Well, you got to then draw the conclusion that the only people that would do something like this are, one, maybe a liquidator, right? But the thing is, if you think about it, a liquidator wouldn't trigger a bunch of liquidations when the markets are closed, because a liquidator has a duty to try and get as much money for the estate that they're liquidating, right? So it can't really be a liquidator. Wouldn't make sense that this is a liquidator liquidating these things. So who else would cause markets or start a sell-off in markets that would trigger a cascade of liquidations, knowing that the volume on markets is very, very, very low? So I think the answer is quite simple, actually. If you look at the market movement for the last couple of months, this is the market movement for the last couple of months. The market's been hellish boring. And we've been in a price range for about 182 days, right? And what happens in this part of the market is traders start to exit the market because they come into the market, they lose money. You can see that we keep getting lower lows here. Traders keep getting flushed out of the market and eventually traders leave. And I don't know about you, but I would say that the last 100 days, probably the least trading that I've ever done in my career in crypto. Even less trading that I've done than I did in a bear market. I'm hardly trading. I don't know about you guys. Are you trading at the moment? Josh is trading because his name is Josh's Trader. But most people aren't actually trading. Most people actually aren't trading. And what does it mean if most people actually aren't trading? Well, it means that the exchanges aren't really making money, right? So if the exchanges aren't making money, and you were an exchange, and how would you land up making more money? Well, I'll tell you how you land up making more money. You would look to drive liquidations, right? Because if you look at the exchanges, T's and C's, what you'll see is that there's an additional liquidation clearance fee. When your position is liquidated, certain percentage of the insurance clearance fee will be collected and contributed for the insurance fund. So what happens is when you get liquidated, the exchanges land up making more money. And so you think about it like this. If you were an exchange and you had a bad month, how would you land up making up for the shortfall in your profits? Well, one thing you could do is, I don't know, you could start firing people in the exchange. Or what you could do is you could look for a day where there's very little volume on the market because you know what both sides of the order book look like. And then what you do is you'd find the time when New York is gone home and going about to go to bed and Japan hasn't yet arrived at work in the morning, the very quiet time, the deadest time in the market when there's the least amount of traders. And what you do is you start a cascade of liquidations. And then what happens is, I don't know if you know this, but every exchange has basically an in-house trading desk. And those in-house trading desks basically fulfill the other side of your liquidation. So one theory is that maybe some centralized exchanges, and I'm not pointing to any of the centralized exchanges, actually said, hold on a second, basically we can cause a bunch of liquidations. That's one theory that's actually out there. And to be honest, it's a plausible theory. It could be that, you know, maybe an exchange or some exchanges colluded together to actually manipulate the market because, hell, in a time when no one's trading, how else do you make the fees? That is one different option. Another option, which is also, in fact, I mean, now that we're actually speaking about centralized exchanges, remember I did speak to you yesterday about not keeping your coins on centralized exchanges. And I don't care which centralized exchange it is. I don't care whether it's one of our sponsors, one of our amazing sponsors, or one of the exchanges that's not our sponsors, even Binance. I don't think that you, someone says, is this legal? I mean, it's not legal, but do you think that who's policing? Where are they regulated? Come on, you know exactly what's going on. You know and I know exactly what's going on. So one of the things that I said to you yesterday was don't leave your coin on exchanges. I don't care what the exchange is, do not leave your coins on exchanges. And today I read another article. I read an article today around Binance. Now, again, cryptocurrency exchange Binance has seized all the Palestinian crypto wallets after a formal demand by Israel. This is insane. This is insane for a cryptocurrency exchange. No wallet is safe on Binance. And Binance is the biggest exchange out there. Now, look, we spoke about this yesterday when we were speaking about Pavel Durov in jail. And now we see again, and I said to you guys, if ever something goes wrong, if ever you get arrested, if you live in the UK, if you tweet the wrong thing and they land up arresting you, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to freeze your bank accounts and they're going to freeze your exchange accounts. Please make sure that you don't have your crypto on an exchange. Just please. And as I said before, I don't care where you keep your crypto, whether it's on a ledger or on a Trezor. I don't care where you get your ref link from, but just go and get yourself a ledger. Go and get yourself a ledger. Now, if you're going to get a ledger, there's a link underneath the show over here. And you can see that the ledgers that they are selling now are these amazing, amazing, amazing ledgers. You're not going to push that like that nice thing. Every time I talk about ledger, you put that like nice thing around me. Yes, like that. Exactly. Yo, look at that. Look at that. So it looks like an Apple iPhone. It works like an Apple iPhone. It's absolutely amazing. You're getting an amazing discount and you're getting $10 of free Bitcoin on the wallet. And you are avoiding situations like this where the centralized exchanges are actually forced to freeze your wallets. Now, Binance CEO did come out and say, FUD, only a limited number of user accounts linked to illicit funds were blocked from transacting. There have been many incorrect statements about this. As a global crypto exchange, we comply with internationally accepted anti-money laundering legislation, just like any other financial institution. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Just like any other financial institution would freeze your bank account if they were told to by law, so will your crypto exchange. Get your coins off the exchanges. Get your coins off the exchanges. Get your coins off the exchanges. Go and buy yourself one of these ledgers and put your money onto a ledger. And one day, if anything ever goes wrong, at least you'll be holding your own keys. You'll be holding your own Bitcoin. So one theory, the exchanges are colluding, or some of the big exchanges are causing a wick, and that wick is causing a whole lot of liquidations, and actually all the centralized exchanges and decentralized exchanges land up making money out of this. That is one theory. The other theory is that it could be as a result of miners actually starting to liquidate their Bitcoin. So, I mean, there was a Bitcoin miner, Rhodium, which filed for bankruptcy. Rhodium's debts were ranged between $50 and $100 million, while its assets are estimated at $100 and $500 million. So what we're seeing now is that there are some miners that are actually closing down. And remember, miners, generally, some of their assets are in Bitcoin. And so there is a rumor, we haven't got any on-chain evidence, that this miner or one of the other miners actually started selling like $100 million or something worth of Bitcoin because they needed to liquidate their Bitcoin. And this is actually quite a feasible theory. If you look at this tweet over here, you can see InvestAnswers tweeted that he called this the miner's bloodbath. And what you can see is that the stocks of the Bitcoin miners pretty much really didn't perform very, very well. And so there's speculation that a lot of miners are actually going to go into liquidation very soon. And the reason for that is very simple. The average price of mining a Bitcoin today is $73,574. The average price of Bitcoin today is $60,000. That means that the miners right now are not profitable. In fact, they're deeply unprofitable. 25% non-profitable at the moment. And so as the miners get more and more non-profitable, there is a risk of miners going insolvent. And when the miners go insolvent, what's the first thing that they do to try and prevent insolvency? They start selling the Bitcoin that they actually own. Why are the miners not making money at the moment? Simple. We've just had the halving. And every halving, remember, they were making double this amount of money because they were mining twice the number of Bitcoin. But then we had the halving, and now they're halving half the number of Bitcoin as they were before. And so what's happened is the cost of mining a Bitcoin has become a lot more, and the price of Bitcoin hasn't yet caught up. That's pretty much what happened. It's becoming harder to mine a Bitcoin because of the halving, and the cost of Bitcoin hasn't actually gone up. So what does that mean? It means that they're not profitable anymore. In fact, right now, every Bitcoin they mine, they're losing 20%. But what they're expecting, or what they're hoping, as you can see over here, look at the yellow line and the blue line. The blue line is the production cost, the mining cost of Bitcoin. And the yellow line is the price of Bitcoin. Now you can see that after every halving, you can see it over here, and you can see it over here, right there. And again, you can see it in 2024. The price of mining a Bitcoin is more expensive than the price of that they can actually achieve for Bitcoin. And that's normal. And the reason why they do that is because during this time, the miners mine Bitcoin and they hold onto their Bitcoin. And then when we get this part over here, the miners actually drop their Bitcoin over here. They drop their Bitcoin and they sell it to the market. So it's a game of how long can you last here while the others are falling apart? And can you make it to the bull market where you can actually sell your Bitcoin? And so what's happening now is the miners are actually taking strain. And when the miners take strain, as you can see, which is pretty normal after the halving, generally we have to get to about here before they actually start making money. So it's pretty normal after the halving. The miners go insolvent. They sell their tokens, or they're about to go insolvent. They sell their tokens, and that causes pressure on the market. That's pretty much what's happening. And it's almost a game of adjustment. So why do I say it's a game of adjustment? Because remember, there's a lot of miners in business. And then we get the halving. And then it becomes harder for the miners to survive. And a lot of miners actually die. But the ones that survive actually end up making much more profit. So right now, there's a race between the miners to survive. Because if they survive while all their peers start dying, then when the market does pick up, they're the ones who claim most of the profit. Pretty much a very aggressive business cycle. And that's exactly what's happening over here. Right now, we're in that part of the cycle. There was a rumor that this Rhodium or one of the other miners actually sold $100 million of Bitcoin, and that sparked the actual liquidations. I don't believe that's the cause, because as I said before, if they were liquidating, they're smart enough to liquidate when New York is open and the ETFs are buying, or when Japan is open and there's buyers, and not in the middle of the night when no one's buying, which is why I think that market manipulation may actually be the real reason why this market actually collapsed. What you can see, the yellow part here is the miner elevated capitulation risk, where the miners basically start capitulating. Anyway, let's go into altcoins. Now that you know that this market was highly manipulated and you know exactly what caused the liquidations last night, and you're not scared because you know that it's just that we're still doing that. You know we're still doing that. Anyway, let's talk about altcoins. I did see this tweet from Luke Martin who said, altcoins are currently at the sell your house to buy more level. Please don't sell your houses, but just showing you that this is like the lowest of the low. One altcoin that's not really having the time of its life, you could say, is Ton. So not only was their founder arrested and is actually still in jail. In fact, he's not in jail, he's in court. And today, because today is Wednesday, either he's going to stay in or he's going to be released. So that's today. On top of all of that, whilst the founder has been arrested, whilst the founder is in jail in France, the Ton blockchain fucking stops. I mean, like, you couldn't think of worse timing than this for the Ton blockchain to fucking stop, right? Like, you just couldn't think of worse timing. Why did it stop? Because because of a meme coin. It's called Dogs. I think there were 6 million holders of Dogs. Like, it was a big number. It was a big, big, big number of holders. They started distributing it and bang, the blockchain stopped. So one of the Solana devs says, the Ton blockchain has been down for a while. Mert, he's a good guy actually. Downtime happens, but what's unacceptable is that there are no official comms. Okay, the dude's in jail. Okay, there's no official comms. I love this meme, which says basically Ton blockchain, Solana blockchain, this is your first time. You should get rid of the comment now so people can see the meme because I spent a lot of time looking for the meme. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Good time for the meme. So, I mean, it's not unusual. You know, Solana blockchain also goes down quite a bit. But now the blockchain is working. Still, it's produced blocks or producing blocks. One interesting thing around Pavel and his arrest is that the United Arab Emirates has frozen the implementation or the purchase of 80 fighter jets, which are valued at $10 billion. That contract is valued at $10 billion. Now, they've frozen it. Reason why they've frozen that is because apparently, $17 billion, the UAE froze a deal to purchase 80 Rafale fighter jets and said that the arrest of Pavel Durov is outrageous. Pavel is a citizen of the UAE and a close friend of the Deputy Prime Minister, Hamdan Maktoum. And so, basically, it looks like France is starting to pay a big price for this. In a couple of hours, we're going to get Pavel either released or we're going to get a statement from the Parisian authorities. And then we shall see what the next step is. I suspect he'll struggle to get bail, but let's actually see what actually happens. Also, in a couple of hours, we have the most important NVIDIA results releases ever. Until the next one and since the previous one. NVIDIA releases results today. Don't forget, here is your cheat sheet on the NVIDIA results. So you can see that NVIDIA usually overperforms when it comes to results. Analysts are expecting no different. Rest assured, this will rock the market though. So let's just quickly look at the QQQ, which is the NASDAQ. Probably trading sideways. I haven't looked today. See, trading sideways because people are nervous before the NVIDIA results. That's just how it is every single time. Let's wait and see what actually happens. Usually they overperform. Let's just see what we're looking at. Revenue is expected at 64 cents per share. So we're looking for expect earnings per share of 64 cents within $28.73 billion revenue. So let's see what happens a bit later on today. If the NVIDIA earnings are bad, the market is going to come down. If the NVIDIA earnings are good, the market is going to go up. Very simple, very linear. You don't even have to be a genius. AI coins should also go up or down based on that. What else is there? Remember, guys, if you're looking to trade, go and trade on Bybit. Especially if you're a big trader, because they've got that special now for big traders. Hold on, where's the show? For big traders, if you sign up here, you get a $30,000 bonus. But also, you can win the Cybertruck and you get $5,000 back. And you'd pay only $3,000 in fees for trading up to $8 million. So do that because that is a special that's happening at the moment. All right, I think that's it for today. It's a short show today because it was Andre's show today. Andre, tell us why it's a short show today.
The market is quite boring at the moment.
The market is boring at the moment.
Yeah, trading is not advised, and I think capital preservation is the main thing now.
That's why. Number you're trading 8 million. It means notional trades of 8 million. Remember today also in 37 minutes, there is a Spaces on the Baked Twitter account. If you're into Gummy, into Baked, today is a good time for the Spaces of the Twitter account. All right, guys. I love you guys madly. I will see you guys tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.